In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Go ahead, open your mouth. Lift your voice and worship him. Lift your voice in your words and magnify him. Adore him.
Adore him.
Exalt his name. Give him praise. Give him praise.
You are
bless you tonight. Already we thank you for healing. Already we thank you for deliverances. We thank you for burdens that are lifted. We thank you for the touch of your presence. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 20, the Bible says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You are going to pray tonight and say, Lord, as your word comes forth, the presence of God is already here. As your word comes forth, let every stubborn cycle that is in my life be broken, never to be seen again. Destructions manifest as cycles. Listen carefully. There are afflictions, there are problems that happen in the life of people that are cyclical. It comes at a particular time of the year. It comes at a particular season in your life when you're about to break through. Then the same kind of attacks, the same kind of predicament. And some of these things you have prayed about, you have fasted about. But the sure pathway to deliverance is the word of God. I know that this is a financial series, but I want your heart to be open because God can do anything in His presence. I may be teaching on finances, but God is healing people, just like He has been healing people. Amen. So don't be stereotyped in your receiving from God. He sent His word and it healed them, but it delivered them from their destructions. God is set to change your life tonight. I want you to lift your voice in 2 minutes and say, Father, as your word comes forth, every stubborn cycle of pain, of failure, of reproach around my life, let it come to an end. In the name of Jesus. I think it is better when God hears your voice in prayers. Cry to your Father. Cry to your Father. Shabarata mobrehete kibalas. Frete keleradamas. Askopola ramandala rabaradasia. Every cycle of pain, every cycle of reproach, every affliction, every form of lack around my life, let it be broken tonight by the power of your word. By the power of your word. By the power of your word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Do something new in my life today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I receive grace from you tonight to be attentive to your word. I told you last week that every time distractions come, it is because a vision has been clearly defined. That word that will bring a change and a turnaround to your life, if the devil is aware, he will do everything to distract you. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I receive the grace to be attentive, spirit, soul, and body, for the word that will come for my transformation and for my lifting in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Please, this is part of the service. This is contributing to your transformation. Lift your voice and cry to Him. Sharabate roscovorotolomende. Leberete kebelekete lebarahas. Some prete ke la mabrahata. I receive the grace to be attentive. I come against distractions. I declare that my mind is open. My heart is open. to receive your word, to receive the engrafted word with meekness that is able to change and transform my soul. Please pray. Somebody pray. This is part of the service. Nobody will pray for you. You will do that for yourself. My heart is open. My mind is attentive. My ears are wide open. I receive the grace to listen with understanding. In Jesus' name. Last prayer, we prayed it last week and we'll pray it again today. I'd like you to know that prayers, the time we spend in prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer is what forces is contributory to your transformation. Are you hearing me? Prayer makes available the spirit and the power component. When it matches with the word of God, transformation is inevitable. Are you hearing me? And it happens to be that nobody can pray for you. These kinds of prayers. So when I say pray, I want you to participate. I want you to cry out of your limitation, out of your pain. You came here so that God can change your life. That the testimonies that you have heard can be replicated in your life. It is possible. So when you pray, you are making a demand. You are placing it. And our God is too loaded to be stingy with his power. He say, how can a man ask a child for bread? Or a child asks a father for bread and he gives him stone. How can he ask him for egg? He gives him a scorpion. Or for fish and he gives him a serpent. When you pray, God definitely hears you. And he will release according to your prayer. If you are quiet, he will release nothing. If you open your mouth and you are vocal, that's why I say open your mouth and I will feel it. So as you pray, it is part and parcel of your transformation. Some of you, as you are praying already, wrong mindsets are falling off your life. Listen before we pray. Mindsets can graduate into what we call strongholds. A stronghold is a reinforced mentality. It can be a wrong mentality and then a spirit that wants you to perpetually remain in that wrong ideology, that wrong practice, will come and build a fence around your life. It is fortified. When you see people act stupid continually, sorry to use that word, it's not really because they want to. They are operating under a stronghold. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, prayer is one of them, is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of you, even before we get to the word, as you are praying, some wrong mindset, some of those mindsets are transgenerational. It has followed you from your grandfather. As you are praying, it is falling apart. The demons that have forced your life to go towards that direction are leaving you, and then the word has free course to come in and perform its job. Do you understand? Even in a surgery, they prepare you for surgery. They don't just take you in and cut you. So this is part of what is happening. Are you ready to pray one more prayer? Isaiah 1 verse 18. He says, If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Father, I receive the grace to forcefully be obedient to everything that I will hear all through this series. Even when I don't want to, let that grace empower me and prompt obedience. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and pray. After all this charge of prayer, I don't think I need to say anything again. I receive the grace. I declare that I am willing and obedient. I am willing and obedient. I am willing and obedient. Every wrong mindset, every wrong ideology, every thought pattern that is not of God, it calls up your life today. The grace to be willing and obedient. Father, I feel led in my spirit for us to pray this last prayer. We are dealing on financial dominion. One of the greatest attacks on families, on churches and society today is the attack of poverty. It is a force that is to be reckoned with. And Satan will stop at nothing in keeping men bound. But tonight, everything that has kept your finances, your financial destiny bound, it will break loose tonight. Amen. You are going to pray and say, Father, as I receive your word tonight and all through this series, every stubborn pattern, ancestral, transgenerational, geographical, you know, there are some patterns. When we talk about patterns, we are speaking about mindset or occurrences that are continuous, events that are continuous. Some patterns are geographical. There are forces that attack regions, that attack territory. One of the forces that attacks northern Nigeria is poverty. And one of the reasons I believe is when there is poverty in the land, it becomes difficult for the gospel to gain free course. And so revival, even though God wants to move, revival seems to be oblivious. But we are going to break free from those patterns. Some of you, the pattern of lack has followed you. For some of you, debt. For some of you, all kinds of things that God has not instituted in your life. Things that do not resemble what is allocated to you as a believer in the word of God. But it must break tonight. I hope you are not tired of prayers. And I told you that as we are in this service, God is not only fixing financial issues. He is doing other issues according to your faith. Are you ready to pray? Just for 1 minute, I want you to pray and shake free every pattern of lack, of poverty, of impoverishment, patterns that make you repeat mistakes that have enslaved your financial destiny. Can you pray and say, Father, let it fall off my life tonight? Every pattern of poverty, of impoverishment, of lack, everything that has tied my financial destiny, let your power be present to bring deliverance. Let the chains break off my life. I break free from those patterns. I break free. So let the wind of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let it break tonight. Let it break tonight. Tonight is Precious name we pray. Just hold the hands of your neighbor. Let's agree tonight. Father, we believe in the ministry of your word in this place. We believe that it is the tool for transformation. We believe that it is the only means by which your power can be communicated. And I ask that in the fullness and in the measure of your power, let your word bring change, transformation, deliverance, healing, prosperity, elevation, and blessings into the life of your children. We declare tonight by your spirit that our understanding is enlightened. And by the power of your word, we are stepping into that place that you have ordained for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. Please clap your hands. Give God praise. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we ready tonight? Please, I'd like your heart to be open. I may be teaching on financial dominion, but God is here to reach out to everyone. Everyone. According to the point of your expectation. All I need you to do is surrender your faith to receive, and your heart and your mind to be attentive. Amen. And I trust that God will do us good today. That when you leave here today, you will leave a better version of yourself. And anyone that is sick here, the power of God is touching you right now to heal you. Whatever the name of the sickness, in the name that is above every other name, the power of God is bringing healing to you. In Jesus' precious name. Financial dominion, let's continue from where we stopped last week. We started introducing the teaching from last week. And we saw how that there are four levels of abundance that a man can live in. There is, when it has to do with financial resources, there is financial scarcity, where there is totally lack of resources. That is the point where people have to beg or crawl or cry, even just to make ends meet. We saw that there is also financial dependence. Now the resources are available, but you have to be dependent on someone else. So you are a third party recipient. And because of that, you don't have control. You cannot predict the flow of resources. For instance, when you have an uncle who is sponsoring you, and that uncle is your only hope. And I pray that after tonight, Jesus will be your hope and your hope alone. If anything happens to that uncle and he dies, God forbid, it means that your academic career or destiny will almost come to a halt. Financial independence is the third level. This is where there is a free flow of resources, and probably you are working or you're into business. You are doing something that allows for the flow of financial resources. But then there is a fourth level, which we call financial dominion. This is the level of control and dominance. You have mastered the laws of the kingdom to see to it that there is a continuity both in the supply and in the sustenance. And I declare that God is bringing somebody to that place in the name of Jesus. I want you to embrace the subject of finances in the kingdom. And I want you to go after the truths from the word of God. I want you to pursue a glorious financial destiny, because it is your heritage in Christ Jesus. Pursue it until you experience true and lasting financial dominion. Part of the prophecy in scripture about a believer In Psalms 112 verse 3, it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. That God will raise you from a place of penury and impoverishment to a point where you now become a channel of empowerment. That you now become the answer and the solution to people's problem. They don't need to cry to God. If they locate you, they've gotten their answer. May God bring you to that place. Amen. Your amen is so down. Amen. May God bring you to that place. Amen. I want you to really contend for a glorious financial future. Contend for it. As you contend to keep your salvation, as you contend to know the truths of the Word of God that applies for holiness, for righteousness, as you contend to grow in your relationship with God, don't sideline or second-class finances. It is very important. You become more effective in the kingdom when you are financially free and you have attained financial dominion. I can assure you that. I can truly assure you. I truly can assure you. The Bible says, how shall they preach except someone is sent? It takes a lot to send a person. Jesus told them when he was sending them in Matthew chapter 10, he said, as you go, do not take purse, do not take scrip or bag. That's it. That's a very risky way of traveling to a new city to preach the gospel. But in Luke chapter 22, at the Last Supper, Jesus asked them, he said, when I sent you without purse or scrip or bags, when I sent you without giving you any money or allowing you to carry any money box, he said, lackest thou anything? They said, no. Even God knows that for him to send a man, he needs to empower that man. And part of the empowerment system of heaven is finances. I'm telling you the truth. There are things that are possible not with faith, with money. Say amen. I assure you there are things you don't need to pray about. Money can just do it. So the attack of the enemy will be to ensure that the resources will not flow to you so that that possibility can become a reality. But that agenda of the enemy has failed over your life. By reason of what you are hearing in this series, that agenda of the enemy to keep you in lack, in poverty and in penury has failed and has been destroyed forever. Your amen tells me you are comfortable where you are. I assure you that by the end of this series, God will raise millionaires amongst us. I'm telling you. The Bible says we have not followed cunningly devised fables. No. These are things that have worked. The saints of old have enjoyed it. Fathers in the faith in our time have walked in it. Some of you have people around you that you know what you are about to hear is a reality in their life. And if there's anything I've proven, it is the laws of the kingdom of heaven that makes for financial dominion. It works like you connect an electric wire and the bulb is on. I'm telling you the truth. It will change your life forever. Some of you will enter into your destiny of becoming major global kingdom financiers. Believe me, actually that is your call. Actually, there are some of you here that God has destined that in addition to what you will do, He will empower you with so much resources that your money can push the gospel. I'm telling you the truth. You can stay and at a spot you are sponsoring 5 crusades happening at the same time in different parts of the world and you are not shaking. Now I'm saying this so that I can stretch the horizon of your mentality towards finances. One car, one house is not enough. It's not enough. Is it wrong for God to empower everybody here or following online? Is it wrong for all of us to be multi-millionaires? It doesn't take away your righteousness, so let me tell you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You can stay and sponsor 5 crusades. You can just enter a new year and your project is to build 7 churches that year. Pastor, what is your bill? Pastor, what is your bill? Whether in dollars or in euro or in naira, financial dominion means financial dominion. Currency notwithstanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people that even if you convert it from naira to dollar, they are still millionaires. That's why you must aim to get. I don't know about you, But as I'm striving to ensure that I make heaven, I'm striving to ensure that I enter financial dominion. Many people will go to heaven when there are resources in the kingdom. Are you hearing me? Believe me, oh. Let me not go ahead of myself. Let's continue. But I assure you that God will change your life after this series. Oh God, I have seen him do it. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness. There are things in my life that I can't share. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? While we are contending for more, it is time for us to begin to see that it is replicated in the lives of people. It is your heritage. It is your destiny. God did not save you to leave you poor. No. Worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive. Guess how the list begins? Power. Next on the list, riches. Who told you that riches are a sin? Break that mindset off your, that religious mindset, break it off your life. God himself said the silver and gold is mine, is mine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Worthy is the lamb who was slain to receive. Why would Jesus die to receive it and I'm still broke? You will enter your destiny today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Let's move on. I told you that we will divide this lesson, or the lesson of last week was divided into three. We'll try to look at financial dominion as the believer's heritage. We couldn't see that. We'll see that today. We also looked at the definition and evolution of money. We try to understand this system called money. And I believe that many of us later realized that the cause of that teaching, that money is not the paper or the currency note you are holding. I hope you know. If money was currency, then why are we owing debt? It was simple. Just tell the bank, the central bank, to print more money and pay. If money was truly currency, paper note, then a naira should be equal to a dollar. Abi? It's just simple. Just print more naira notes and make it sufficient. But you take even the largest denomination in our money, I will not mention the currency, and you put it side by side with a $100 note, even a child that they just gave birth to will know which one to choose. Are you hearing me? So money is not currency. No. I encourage you to get the teaching of last week so you can understand, because if we try to go back to it, it will take our time. We saw the definition of poverty. I want to give you another definition. I gave you 9 definitions. Amen. The last definition I gave you of poverty was that it is what? It is what? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, just put that scripture for us. Let's finish the recap. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. What did he say? Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Next verse. Meaning that you will have to suffer and sweat. What kind of life is that? He said, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the grass. The word herb there is the same thing as grass. That you will suffer, you will toil. As they put it in that adage, you walk like an elephant and you eat like a grass. God forbid over your life in the name of Jesus. He said, but even after doing all that, the ground will only give you thorns. Thorns are weeds. Huh? What they call chuku chuku. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why I want you to accept tonight that poverty is a curse. If you see anybody who is poor, he's living under a curse. But the Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty he took the curse on himself, so that you will no longer suffer from the curse of poverty, so that you can be rich. And today that curse is over in your life. Let me give you one more definition of poverty. Poverty is a state of deprivation. is a state of deprivation. You know, from the word deprive, is a state of deprivation in which people or communities lack access. Poverty is a state of deprivation in which people or communities lack access to resources, lack access to resources and basic necessities, and basic necessities needed to live a healthy and dignified life. Lack access to resources and basic necessities needed to live a healthy and dignified life. So when poverty is in view, human dignity has been sabotaged. The definition there, I beg your pardon, says that it is the lack of access to resources and basic necessities. Do you know that there are things you don't even need to pray for? Basic necessities of life, houses. What again? Food. I think food should have been number one. Food, shelter, clothing. Is that true? These are basic necessities. You need it to survive. You are not supposed to pray for it. The Bible says He gives us, He daily loads us with benefit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when there is a lack of even these basic resources, that person or that community of people cannot live a healthy and a dignified life. Many people die today not just because there is an attack of the demon of death. There are many ways to arrest demons. One of it is through enough resources for health care. There are many people that should not die of kidney issues, die of liver issues. If there is enough money to fly them, and I don't know why we don't have those facilities in Nigeria. But there are facilities, medical facilities, that are competent enough to tackle some very critical health condition. You don't need prayer. Money can solve it. There are some other people at the other side. They have made so much money, they don't know what to do. It's now to go and change their face so that they can look young. Put implants in their breast or their... I will not call that name. Is that true? Meanwhile, somebody somewhere in Africa dying of poverty. Amen. So human dignity is sabotaged when there is lack or when there is the presence of poverty. I took out time to clearly define it, not so that you can just write it in your book and go, so that you can put it at the back of your mind, and when you live on a day-to-day, on daily basis, you can observe this in the lives of people and ensure by the help of God and by the help of what you will know or what you will receive tonight that you don't fall victim of any of these definitions. Let's move on to the dimensions of poverty. After the definition, let's look at dimensions. A dimension is the version of the expression of a thing. The version, the view of a thing. Just like you say 2D, 3D, 4D, right? Dimensions. That means poverty will manifest in any of these forms. Number one, financial poverty. That's the first dimension of poverty. Financial poverty, which is lack of money and financial resources. Number two, mental poverty, which is the poverty of ideas and lack of creativity. That's also poverty. Lack of creativity. When the mind of an individual is not productive at all, no idea that can be packaged as a value and translated for the flow of resources, that is mental poverty. In fact, okay, let's go on. I also call it the barrenness of the mind and lack of brain power. The barrenness of the mind. When your mind becomes barren, do you know that the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So God has ensured in a way that if your mind is productive, your life will be at the mercy of your mind. But today God is healing somebody of mental poverty. Number three, social poverty. This is relational. This is the poverty in relationships. You don't have a system of relationships around your life that can leverage you from the grip of poverty. The man that Jesus met at the pool of Bethesda, what was his complaint? He said, I have no man. Social poverty. Do you know that a rich man in finances can suffer from social poverty? You don't only need people to rise and become wealthy. You also need people to enjoy the wealth. Because it's more frustrating to be so wealthy in terms of financial resources, yet everybody hates you. Nobody is around you. You will die with your money. I believe that's the interpretation to the popular Nigerian adage that says, chop alone. Social poverty. Number four, physical poverty. This is the poverty of health or health crisis. What is the benefit of money when there is no good health to enjoy it? And how can you become wealthy when you are not even healthy enough to walk? Physical poverty. Number five, material poverty. This is the poverty of physical or tangible achievements. They are in two forms. This is the poverty of achievements. That means nothing in this life that we can tie your name to and record you as someone who is successful. There are in two forms. The first form is a lack of assets. You can't claim to walk in financial dominion when you don't have physical assets, tangible assets. Do you know that the riches of wealthy men are measured in terms of their assets? They will say that this guy is worth $2 billion. Worth. Not that he has $2 billion in the account. No. Some nations, the economy of some nations will not even allow you to have that amount in your account. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, I was told that if you must travel overseas, if you must go with more than $10,000 cash, there are procedures you'll have to go through with EFCC. Otherwise, you can be arrested for money laundering. You don't know that. You have no need to deal. So that tomorrow God will not bless you and mental poverty. You just carry everything like that. You are going to Obodo Oyibo and to pack all the money like that. You know, some of us, we like seeing money, especially some of our ladies that are laughing. You just like to see money everywhere. So you love a husband that will always make it rain on your life. Every day he's giving you money, he's giving you... Alright? If you don't know it today, there is a section in EFCC they call Special Control Unit for Money Laundering. There are laws that govern how much currency you should carry. That is the reason why when you are rich in assets, your assets are physical things like land, like houses, real estate, you know, oil wells and what else? Physical things that if translated can always bring in financial returns. Now, when a man is lacking of those things, that is material poverty. Number two on that is the poverty of impact. At least if you don't have physical assets, make sure you have impact in the lives of people. Let it be recorded that you have made tremendous impact. You have made a mark in the lives of people. You are instrumental to the transformation, the growth, and the rising of people in a way that your name cannot be isolated from it. When you are like that, you can't remain poor. Even in crisis, there are people that can stand up and enter a covenant to stand with you and bring you up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Impact. There are nations that are popular today in the world map because of some footballers that rose from there. There's one footballer I love so much. I don't know why they didn't give him world best. Anyway, you know, politics is everywhere. What's his name? He scores anyhow. I think he used to be, I think he's in Bayern Munich now. Huh? He's a German, I think. Is he a German or? He scored five goals in a, is it five goals in a match? Huh? Lewandowski. That's my footballer. I love that guy. Abi, there was a match like that. He scored five goals in 9 minutes. Yes, I think I watched it. Speaking of impact, you are here, all the prayers jo, that you have been praying. What impact has it? Lewandowski, that, I don't know why they didn't give him war. I don't know. That's somebody you should. That's a goal machine. Amen. And recently, I think FIFA has made Osimhen the number one African player now. I saw it on the news recently. Go and check your news. The ranking has changed. I have no business with football, but I love current affairs because I'm talking to people every week. So I must be current. I can't be mentally poor because I'm preaching the gospel. Amen. Even if you enter fashion now, you'll be shocked that I will know it more than some women. Amen. Well, back to our... So, lack of impact is also a dimension of material poverty. Number six, knowledge poverty. Knowledge poverty. This is the lack of useful information and skill needed to make progress in life. Lack of information. When you are not informed, you are deformed. Someone said that. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. It says, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge poverty. But you are here so that you can receive knowledge that will transform your life. And then number 7, which I believe is the greatest of all the dimensions of poverty, spiritual poverty. This is the lack of the knowledge for eternal salvation. Have everything that you need in this life and you are not saved. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. There is a peace that money cannot buy. It is salvation that gives it. There is a joy that cannot be generated by any power plant. It is salvation that gives you. Believe me, I've seen rich people who will look at a poor man and say, I wish I'm like them. I was talking with a lady yesterday. She's a barrister and a captain in the Nigerian army. Living very well. Living very well. And we're talking on phone and I was trying to encourage her not to complain. And I told her, I said, do you know that there are ladies who would want to be or who are dreaming to have half of what you have? She said, well, those ladies, I don't know what they are dreaming of. I said, no, don't say that. What you should say is that maybe they don't know that it comes with a price. Spiritual poverty. But if you are saved, you have broken free from that one. In the name of Jesus. Reasons why you must attain financial dominion. I'm still on part one. Reasons why you must attain financial dominion. Remember, I told you that the part one, which we started last week, the objective of that teaching was to show us that financial dominion is the believer's heritage. It is your inheritance in Christ. Reasons why you must attain financial dominion. Can I give you six? All right. Number one, it is your birthright and your inheritance as the redeemed of the Lord. It is your birthright and your inheritance as the redeemed of the Lord. Please believe what I'm telling you. It is your birthright. You don't struggle for your birthright again. An American citizen is an American citizen. Abi? Which other one is important? A British citizen is a British citizen. Which other one again? Israel, an Israeli, Jews, anywhere they go. What did you mention? Which name did you mention? Don't mention that name. Amen. Once there's trouble in any part of the world, Americans will send a big jet, carry all their citizens. Anything that happens there is your cup of tea. Amen. As a bona fide American citizen, there are things that you have access to. It's your right. You don't pray for it. A Nigerian can pray for it, but an American just wakes up and is enjoying it. In fact, I don't know if they still do it till now. Once you become 18 years of age, the government begins to pay you. Abi? But in Africa, what do? That's when you begin to submit prayer points and add praise and worship to it. Amen. Yeah, you start submitting for a job at 18 years so that before 25, it's not your portion in Jesus' name. Now, in the kingdom of heaven, financial dominion is your birthright. It was part of your salvation receipt. It is there. I heard the story of a man that traveled on a ship many years ago, those days when that was the only effective transport globally. And he was given a ticket when he entered that ship. And all through while he was there, he was starved. And then one day somebody met him, I think when they were close to their destination. Said, why are you not eating? Everybody is at the dining eating. Why are you not eating? He said, he doesn't have money to pay for the food. The man said, no, look at your ticket. All the meals that you will eat, your ticket has covered for it. So when you go, they will tick the boxes. Now, a believer that does not know that financial dominion is their birthright, that's why they will keep seeking God for money. Meanwhile, there are better reasons for why you should seek God. For instance, you seek Him to know Him. He has taken care of the money issue. And today, if it is your birthright, it will become your manifestation. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is Him that giveth you power to get wealth. Revelation 5 verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, that we will rule and reign in the earth. That we will rule and reign. Part of what you must rule and reign above on earth is the financial systems of the world. In verse 12 of that same chapter 5 of Revelation, it says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. My God, the day I discovered that scriptures, I pray it almost every day. Say, Jesus, you shed your blood. What is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches? So I receive it today. Are you hearing me? Well, I just taught you how to pray some kind of prayers. Once you see it in the Word of God and it's your own, hold it and stand on it till your leg pains you in prayers. Insist. God loves believers that are persistent. Are you hearing me? It is your right, it is your inheritance. You must enjoy it. Number two, reasons why you must attain financial dominion: to enjoy a good life. John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill and destroy, but I am come that they may have life, and have it how? Or you can simply put have it in abundance. That means everything that they need for their life to experience abundance. That is why I came. If God did not intend for you to enjoy a good life, Jesus couldn't have performed miracles of bread and fish. Abi? They came to Peter and said, why does your master not pay tax? So it was Jesus that was owing tax, Abi. But Jesus told Peter, he said, go to the sea, throw your hook. The first fish you catch, open the mouth, you'll find a gold. Oh, I love God, the way He provides. He said, you'll find enough to pay for me and for you. I'm sure Peter said, thank you, Jesus. But it was not written there. Because maybe Peter was owing. I hope you know he left fishing to follow Jesus. I mean, it's not there in the Bible. This is just my thinking. How do you read the Bible? I like reading the Bible in a very, very optimistic I like to interpret it in my own because if the word of God cannot be interpreted in the context, within the context of your own existence, then it's not the word of God. It applies to every generation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? First Timothy 6 verse 17 to 18. He said, charge those who are rich amongst you not to be high-minded, not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. This is my favorite part in the verse. Who gives us richly. Oh, come on. He used, that's an adverb, right? Richly. He didn't just give us all things. He gave us richly to enjoy. What will happen when you have all things in abundance? Next verse. He said, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Joel chapter 2 verse 26. He said, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and bless the Lord your God. You shall eat in plenty. You can eat and not be satisfied. I hope you know. How many of you used to experience it those days? They put soup for you, small soup. Once you finish the soup, the food has ended. So many of us now learned how to use two, big two and small soup. Is that true? You know, God has delivered us from many things. So don't smile and be looking at me. You know where you are coming from. Huh? You know how to mize it and mize it. Some of us, respectfully speaking, God has helped you now. I'm telling you, all things are new now. But those days, when they give you a loaf of bread for breakfast, you know it's already not enough. So you divide it into two. You eat one and put another one under your pillow. So that later when hunger strike, because it was 101 or 100 sometimes. Is that true? You don't want to answer me. In fact, let me not share too many jokes. But those days when we were small, we just in a bid to survive hunger, we had so many schemes. I set up one foundation within the house for all the children. I know my siblings, if they are watching now, they'll be laughing. We used to call it Children for Future. So I was the CEO, I was the head. You know, it was like a comrade thing. So anytime they share food, that's when I'll come out. Children for Future. Oh yeah. All kinds of whims to survive. Amen. But thank God that things are better now. So one of the reasons why you must attain financial dominion is to enjoy a good life. A good life. A good life. So that you can open your mouth and say, God is good. You can't say that if you have not eaten since yesterday. If you are trekking under the sun that is of 12 noon and people are passing with their car, their AC. I notice that some people, anytime they come to my house for counseling, they like to remain. And I now realize why. Especially when it's hot. I just sit down there. Amen. I think the next one is to buy an AC for the kitchen now, so that whoever is cooking your meal will not sweat. Don't look at me like that. If you are looking at me like that, then we need to cast out some demons. Are you hearing me? Many years ago, I watched a documentary by JJ Okocha, the footballer. They were showing his house in UK, Living Football. That was the name of the documentary. And he showed them the kitchen. There was a TV there. You know, that time, plasma TV was very new. TV, everything with AC, say so that his food will not get burnt. Because if the wife is watching something at the parlor, she will leave the food. But if there is TV in the kitchen, she can be watching there, and you will live a good life. Number three, reasons why you must attain financial dominion for kingdom advancement. For kingdom advancement. Zechariah 1:17 says, through prosperity shall my cities be yet spread abroad. Zechariah 1:17. Through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad to advance the cause of the kingdom. Jesus gave us a mandate to disciple all nations. One of the ways we can bring nations and governments and systems and territories under the forceful subscription to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to the culture of the kingdom is through resources. I don't mean to sound carnal, but people will believe your God more when you are rich. At least some. I don't mean to sound carnal. I also believe in holiness, but people will truly believe. That's why churches have implemented a new strategy of giving food and snacks to first timers. Is that true? But you know, that's not the only thing that keeps people in church. I hope you know. But it's not bad anyway. Kingdom advancement. Haggai chapter 1 verse 3 to 11 is a long scripture, but I won't read all. It's a long reading, but I won't read all. He said, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, please be fast. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who ends wages to put into a bag with holes. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple. Do you find trees on the mountain? Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple. Let me interpret it significantly, symbolically, so you understand this scripture. You don't climb a mountain to get wood. You just enter a forest and cut a tree. Put the scripture there. Go up to the mountains. It speaks of the areas of influence in society. The mountain of media, the mountain of sports and entertainment, the mountain of business and finances. He said, go there, make the money. The money is the wood there. Because paper, money is made of paper, currency is made of paper, and paper is gotten from where? Wood is from where? Trees. Say, go into the systems, make the money, and bring it and build my house, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. We have to start having footballers in this congregation. Are you hearing me? Some of you can look at me the way you want to look at me. I don't care. We'll come back for your kind of preaching. But Allah, just allow me. I hate poverty. Kingdom advancement is not without resources. It's not without resources. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 16. What does it say? Proverbs 10:16. If it's not there, let me just... I need us to be really fast, please. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked to sin. Do you have NLT? There's something I want to show you in this scripture before I explain this point. It said, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Listen to this in the Living Bible translation. It says, the good man's earnings advance the cause of righteousness. The evil man squanders his own on sin. The good man's earnings advances the cause of righteousness. For us to advance the kingdoms, we will need the kingdom of heaven. We will need to build systems. It's not just enough to take over a system. We need to build systems. It will cost you money to build a school where virtues and qualities from the word of God will be taught children, and they will be brought up in the fear of the Lord. See, now they have removed Christian religious whatever, CRK. They've removed it. It's now what? Moral instruction or what? Those of you in education, like, you don't know. It's now moral instruction or something like that. They've removed it. First of all, it was CRK. Then they now moved it to CRS because there was too much Bible. Then they moved it to CRE, Christian Religious Education. Now it is moral instruction. Are you seeing how the system of the world is trying to isolate Christianity? Now it will take finances for you to say, okay, I will build a school where the children will be taught in the fear of God, where the Bible will be a subject of its own. A school with a large assembly hall where they can have devotion, they can have service with instrument like this. You take this atmosphere of pneumatic there. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? If you are not planning otherwise, maybe by the time some of us get married and start having children, there's no God in the system again. Your child will go to school and come back another thing. Is it not people who send their children to school in the Western world and the children came back atheists? You sent a boy to go and school, he came back and said, I don't know what I am. That's because a system reprogrammed him, and that system was sponsored by resources. Look at the entertainment industry now. Some of these are wonderful musicians there. Just switch to secular now. Remove Jesus, put baby. Just put Lois inside. You want to shoot a video. You are talking about... Why are you talking about money and in your video they put naked girls there? It's because of a system that is reprogrammed. It's the system of Babylon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Babylon, the goal of Babylon. Babylon does not empower people. It looks for gifted people to serve its cause. That's what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Employ them. They were gifted. They were wise. They were knowledgeable. But employ them to serve Babylon. As I'm speaking with anger, because it's time for the church to arise. If we don't rise up and build system in these end times... It's not only the church that is experiencing revival. Satan, the kingdom of darkness, is also being revived. Now, the attacks of the devil is institutionalized. He has known how to take over systems. And they say, if you can't beat them, join them. Somebody told me of one of our popular musicians in Nigeria. I won't call the name. Name starts with T. I won't call the name. They said he used to be a keyboardist in a very big church. A very big church in Abuja. He used to be a keyboardist at the teen church. Now he's one of the most streamed artists in Africa. And they are paying him. And then when you start your music ministry, Satan will say, oh boy, you will die here with poverty. Better change. To advance the kingdom, it takes resources. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A time is already coming. In fact, the time has come where we need to enter the banking system as the church. There is now Islamic banking. In Yemen, recently they gave a loan, a whooping loan to Niger state government in millions of dollars for infrastructure. You go browse it, it's on news. How many Christian banks can do? How many banks are even Christian banks? So church building project will take 15 years. By the time you are dedicating the church, the iron rod that you put at the beginning is already showing because the cement has washed off. I'm challenging us tonight, though. I think it's only MFM that I know now that is a church or a Christian religious institution that has a football club, MFM FC. And yet we have a lot of young, talented. There are some of us your destiny is not even in school. Just use those your legs, eh? Those, your legs will make your nation great. But when they don't have money to travel to Europe and join a team there, they will be here and struggle with that. Can't somebody just have a dream and say, God, if you empower me financially, I'm going to have football clubs and we'll employ the services of young Christian footballers. Give them a future. There are some local governments and some states that will keep waiting for the government to bring infrastructure. You will wait in vain. Recently, I think it was in July, we visited Southern Borno. I almost wept. Full of potential. No good road. Because as long as you have somebody on that seat from the other side, they will never do for you. Can God not empower some kingdom financiers and say, why wait for the government? Bring the caterpillars and everything. Construct a road here. What is wrong in that? That road, missionaries will travel on it and preach the gospel. Those witches in your village, they are populated in a coven because they have not heard the gospel. If they hear the gospel and see real power, all of them will repent. You will not need to pray against village powers. Are you seeing how it affects you? But you are here in the city, you are gathering all the money, and somebody is in the village suffering. If I don't enjoy, you might not go enjoy. So I'm just trying to explain what kingdom advancement is. Bringing society to the point where they submit to the lordship and the system and the culture of Christ. And it has to be institutionalized, I beg your pardon. And if it must happen like that, we need resources, we need money. So the next time you drive that your one car, thank God for it. But there is no need to even pride in it again. Because you ask yourself, what is this contributing to the kingdom? I told somebody, I said, next year we need to have at least four of those buses bringing people. Yes, whether the devil likes it or not. And if he doesn't like it, let him look for the nearest transformer and hold it. Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Send buses around this city. Gather people. Let them come and be delivered, be healed, be transformed. And that's how this city will experience change. For you to change a nation, you must change a community. For you to change a community, you must change a family. For you to change a family, you must transform an individual. That's the root. If not for the cost of holding services like this, there are meetings I want us to even put up. There are worship meetings that we should be having every month, so that people can enjoy the presence of God. But when you look at the bill and you see that it's almost ₦1 million. Meanwhile, God is empowering people here to a point where it will become normal to spend in millions for the gospel. You say that amen, you receive it in your life. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What will happen? All these things will be gathered to you. Seek first. It's all about the kingdom. Number four, to help the poor. To help the poor. Proverbs 19 verse 17. He says, he that lendeth to the poor, he that giveth to the poor is lending to God. And he said that he will pay back what he has given. To help the poor. There are a lot of hungry people around us. A lot of people out of school. A lot of children out of school. Some don't even have footwears to wear. You see them around your house. They are the ones that empty your trash bin. Can you not pick one and sponsor that person into school? Help people around you. Let me show you a scripture that will bless you. Psalms 41, verse 1 to 3. Don't just rise and rise alone. Look for a way to give back to society. Look for a way to help those who are needy. He said, blessed is he who considers the poor. Look at the blessing. Number one, he said, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Let's go on. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Do you like this? And he will be blessed on the earth. That's three. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Number four, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. Number five. Number six, you will sustain him. Abba. That's what somebody is looking for in prayers, that helping the poor can bring to you. Every time you help to alleviate people's sorrow and pain. You know, one of the things I love to see, even though I don't really like seeing it, but I love to see a situation where people have given up hope. Somebody just appears, and instead of just helping a little, it takes care of everything, and the people are shedding tears, not out of pain but out of joy. It makes you a savior. I enjoy it where you can look at somebody and say, from today till you graduate, your school fees is on me. From today till you get a job, I give you monthly salary. Go and calculate what will it take to start that business. I'll give you everything. He says, Savior shall arise from Zion. What kind of a savior are you? It's only the gospel you have on your mouth. Buy with one, ladies, even if it's cheap one. Enter a place, maybe a school environment, enter a room, a hostel. Share for all the ladies and say, I want to talk to you for 5 minutes. I'm telling you, they will off their phone and listen. Yes or yes? Oh, come on. See, then they are saying yes. Now, was it about the reform? No. It was about the information that you will pass to them that will change their lives. To help the poor. In fact, the Lord is even talking to me now. There are many of you that this is what you are supposed to have started by now. Some of you are afraid. Some of you is because people have hurt you in the past. Some of you, this is what you need to go into. Look for people who are needy around you and do something for them. The last time you celebrated your birthday, you just carried cake, selfie. You know, we're in the selfie generation. It's all just me, myself, and I. You went with cake and 2 bottles of wine. And you're not a preacher. You're not even a preacher. You're not a pastor. You went with 2 bottles of wine to the studio. That cake and that wine, the money can feed at least 10 people. And they'll pray for you throughout that day. One of these days I will do it. I wanted to do it this year. Somebody stopped me. I called one of the big restaurants in this town this year. I told them I want to pay for all the food for that day. Everybody should eat free. They say, no, Apostle, we'll do it. Tell us when. I say, okay, I'm not doing it again. But one of these days we'll do that. Just go there, pay them, and say, Jesus came to give life, that they will have it more in abundance. Say, for 4 hours, anybody that comes to eat, free. Let people be alleviated. Somebody say, let the poor breathe. Is it true? Not only should they breathe, they should eat too. Especially now that the economy is tough on people. You are just there, you're not suffering. You thank God. Maybe because you have an uncle somewhere, or you have parents, or God has blessed you. If you know what people face, if you know families that don't eat, people are sick, they can't even take medication because there's no food to take the medication. And then somebody dies as if Jesus is not on the throne. He's on the throne. The body he left on earth is not working. Some of us are so conscious of witchcraft. Say, hey, if I give, they go. Use them against me. Go back and read that scripture. He said, you will not deliver him to his enemies. No, I personally, and God will raise people like myself here. Oh, no. I plan to live to see God use my life, bring people out of poverty. It's not only the anointing that can bring people out of poverty to prosperity. Jonathan too can be used. I'm stretching your mind tonight. I'm stretching it so that you begin to see major reasons for why you must contend. Don't sit down there. And the people, the prayers that they are praying in your family, the answer was in you since you were born. But it looks like God is not doing anything. That's why God gave you skill. You can do many things at a time. He has answered the prayer. So they are there fasting and praying and crying. Meanwhile, God is simply saying, the Savior is there. He's not doing anything about it. The leper say, why sit ye will yet till we die? If we go into the city, we will be killed. We will die of famine. If we remain here, we will die of famine. He said, let us go forward. And 4 lepers that took a step delivered an entire city. Today, God will raise men. Men that he will empower to bring healing to nations. That people, when they are asking, where is God? They just need to point them to your house. Say, I've never seen the Jesus you preach. But everything I've seen in that life, if Jesus cannot do that, then I don't think I will believe in Jesus. I mean, look at when Jesus told the disciples, he said, give these people something to eat. If they have been here with me for 3 days, listening, no food. There are people who want to be here, but they can't be here because of lack of money.
There are people who are here now, they are not even listening to me. They are angry that I'm taking time because they've not eaten. They didn't eat before coming. And one of these services, I will surprise you. There will be buffet at the back there. When you finish, you eat and go. Amen. Oh yes, Sammy, let's continue the teaching. Number 5, reasons why you must attain financial dominion. For global end time evangelism. For global end time evangelism. It cost a lot to preach the gospel. It cost a lot, my brother. It cost a lot. There are ministries that have television stations airing out live services and Christian content that will bless you on a weekly basis. You enjoy those channels. If they tell you that they spend millions of dollars monthly, you will not believe. I heard of a particular church in northern Nigeria here a few years back. It cost them about $60,000 to be on air for how many months? Was it 6 months or so? Convert that to... it cost a lot. These services that we hold here, people are watching us live all around the world. If I tell you that we spend in 50s per service, you will not believe me. The account people know that I'm telling the truth. When I say 50s, I'm not saying 100,000. No. One service. And most times, the highest... No, let me not say it to break your heart. No, let me say it. The highest offering we have collected here is not more than 120,000 ever. But we spend well over 150,000 almost every Sunday for this service. If there was not a God that supplied, you would not be here. And I didn't tell you so that you go back and no. God has supplied. Just join the flow. Are you hearing me? You hear the kind of testimonies coming from online. The last miracle service, while I was praying for deliverance, somebody in another state, the power of God hit the person. The person vomited. Evil death. I think I'm saying... was delivered on the spot. If there was no social media, if you know how much these guys collect for data every Sunday, think of it. Think of the lives that will be changed. It takes a lot to preach the gospel in the end times. I'm telling you. And Jesus gave us a mandate. It's a must. He said this gospel must be preached to all the nations for a witness. Do whatever it takes. Spend your resources. Give everything possible. I know a man of God who just finished a crusade now. Dr. Paul Enenje finished a crusade in New York, in USA. Hey, crusade that you carry how many private jets to go? Do you know how much it costs to fly a private jet per hour? Anytime he's doing his crusade, you see they travel with equipment, with people. They spend more time. He was saying, I was listening to him in his minister's conference. He said the conference they held in UK last month, only the hall and the equipment, they spent €200,000. When it was converted to Naira, it was almost 300 million Naira for 2 days conference. But in the church, youth want to do program. They bring their, submit their budget to the church. The elders say, we can't approve because it's 80,000 Naira. Shame on you. With all due respect. What? Small program, small impact. Big program, big impact. That's it. Better soup, na money killer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All of us, we have this mandate too. It's not only my mandate. We have all. How shall they hear except someone, except the gospel is preached? And how shall it be preached except someone is sent? It takes a system to send one man. It's not only the pastor's job alone. It's a system. That's why I'm praying. We need to move to our own site very soon. There are things that we need to set up there. God gave me a vision of a world-class studio that we must build there. build it there from Maiduguri to the ends of the earth. And I will not sleep until I see it manifest. I don't care if I'll have to sell everything I have at any point. It must manifest. Spending for God, I've discovered, is a noble cause. I'm telling you, there's a joy you will never enjoy until you see your resources used to preach the gospel. Souls are won. The last Youth at Flame conference we held, nearly 100 souls were saved in just 3 days. But if I tell you that the budget of that meeting was in 60s, you will not believe me. Just 3 days. That is what can happen in a whole year for a church. Some even in 2 years. But in 3 days. Are you seeing how with resources we can save time? And the Bible says we should redeem time, for the days are evil. I'm provoking you this night. I may not even finish my message, but when we stand up to pray, you will space out with that poverty and insist that my life must contribute to the gospel. Some of you have villages where you know God has shown you in a dream that you will have to sponsor crusades that will go there. Otherwise, they will keep transferring the witchcraft from one generation after another. I know a man of God who was to pray for somebody who was sick. And I haven't prayed and nothing had happened. He went to God and he made a vow with God. He said, God, I'll give you an offering in 60s. And I will go to the man's village and hold a crusade and win souls for you if you heal this man. Guess what? The man was healed in 48 hours. It's more like God saying, oh, I like that kind of death. I like that kind of... Amen. There are people I've prayed for that I had to give, be unknown to them, I have to give seed, sacrifice. That's why when you curse a man, or when you insult a man, when you talk, you are just, don't dig an early grave. There are people, God will say, give 100,000, give 200,000. You bleed in the secret. And then instantly, the manifestation just comes for them. For the gospel to get to the ends of the earth, it takes resources. And you don't need to wait for people to come and cajole you. Let it be at the back of your mind that everything that is coming to me, there must be a path for God. Can't you move out of tithe and offering for God's sake? Everything is growing. Everything is advancing. It's only your tithe and offering. I refuse to change from there. And you know why I like the kingdom of God? You start from a place of lack and grow. If I share with you the dream that God has placed in my heart recently for music ministers, I just got fed up and said, why would we have anointed people and the world cannot hear their voice? Let's give them a mic that is loud enough for the whole world to hear. Are you hearing me? So maybe in the future we need to start setting up record label. Because you don't know that they are preachers too. Davido preached with his message. Which other one? I saw a secular musician died recently. And people are even crying for him. The last time a gospel musician died, who cried? They are preaching something. Listen to their lyrics. You know that they are serving a system. We need to send emissaries. What's wrong in setting up a record label and tell you your album project, everything is taken care of. You just go and pray and receive the song from God. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I'm not the type that will exploit you. No, not that type. That you go, they give you 2 million and only 200,000 will be given to you. No, not that type. No. It's all factored into preaching the gospel. It must be heard. The message must be heard everywhere. I didn't come with a paper. I wanted to give you. Okay, let me just give you and then we'll pray. I think I put it somewhere. This is let me see if I have it here. This is the current world statistics. This was a research on global evangelization, the preaching of the gospel. This was a research done very recent as a month or 2 months ago. Listen to this. In a world population of 8 billion, 45,311,447 and growing, because it must have grown beyond that. In a world population of this, 1.9 billion are Muslims. Say amen to that. 1.1 billion are atheists. I don't believe in God. I don't know if there is a God. 394 million Chinese. You know all those Chinese people, their tradition. That's a religion of his own. 309 million are primitive traditional religions, as you know, religion as in culture, African traditional religion, all of that. 100 million, okay, yes, that's primal traditional religion. The 100 million African traditional religion. India has a population of 1.4 billion. Almost 1 billion of that number are Hindus. Now, I didn't call how many is for Christian, but if you calculate the figures, you see that we are at a loss. And you are saying Jesus will come tomorrow. Who go lose? You know what will grow these statistics? When resources are pumped towards... You know why it has to be resources? Because where a man's treasure is, there his heart lies. When every church, every family, every individual becomes a part of the preaching of the gospel, whether you are preaching by mouth or you are funding a system that is preaching or you are sponsoring missionaries. Missionaries are no longer going to the field again because nobody is paying their fees. It's as if it's a cost to be a missionary. When there are some of you have been earning 500,000 since, can't you separate at least 50,000? Even if it's 10,000 you can give to 5 missionaries. It will do something. You say, God, when I start earning a million, well done. We will do something with money for the gospel, sir. We will do something, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. My final point and we pray. Oh, I love this one so much. Reasons why you must attain financial dominion. To persecute the kingdom of darkness. I didn't give you scriptures for number 5. For global end time evangelism. Matthew 24 verse 14. Mark 16 verse 15. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 15. Those are scriptures for number 5. Number 6. To persecute the kingdom of darkness. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, an evil spirit troubled him. Is that true? What was the solution? Somebody had to travel from another state to that place, isn't it? And played with a harp. And the spirit left. And then Saul, realizing the usefulness of David, he sent to David's father. He said, your son is going to be under my employment from now. That means David was being paid. I hope you know. And that harp was not a gift. They didn't dash it from heaven. They bought it. How much does it cost to buy a Yamaha Montage? 2.9 million. But so it's playing now. You are enjoying it. You are enjoying the atmosphere. No, be so. When you go back now, you're listening to the message. Let me tell you something. One of the ways to persecute the kingdom of darkness is to use the weapons that they use against you against them. Can I prove it to you? Listen. He said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt. How do you condemn? You speak. How do you speak? With your tongue. Every tongue that rises against me, I will use my own tongue to... Oh, you didn't catch that. So, so if Satan is using poverty to torment a family, that same weapon, which now at the other side is riches, you can use it to lambast. One of the ways to torment demons is to ensure that they don't have a body to possess. So if 100 people are possessed with, let's say, 20,000 demons, because you know accommodation is a serious issue in the spirit realm, 3,000 can stay in one man. I'm telling you the truth. I've been in deliverance a little while. I'm telling you, it's a serious issue. It's not only in Maiduguri. Accommodation is a serious issue. Because where else can they find a man who will yield himself to wickedness so that they can possess? So this one that we have caught, let's stay inside. Now, those 100 people, organize a meeting and bring somebody who is anointed with the grace of God. You have set them free already. And you have empowered them to go. And each of those 100 people can bring deliverance to 100 each. So if 100 are sent out, they are delivered, they are saved and empowered and sent out, each of them bringing deliverance to 100, multiply that 100 by 100. How many people have you saved? The kingdom of darkness has lost ground. That's how to persecute them. But the truth is, that program, no be peace you go put inside generator. I have to use Nigerian, let me just tell you. Some of you saved, you didn't drive your car this week, you were saving it to come to Newmarket because of fuel. Abi? To persecute. In the last days, God will raise end time financiers. Kingdom financial giants with boldness and with resources. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? And everything that they will do for the kingdom will ensure that the devil loses ground. In fact, sometimes there are altars that if you want to raise in a family so that God can move, you have to raise those altars with money. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? There are many times God has done that to me. I'm praying a long season and no breakthrough. God will say, take a seat, go. I remember one time I traveled, I was here about to travel. God spoke to me while we were praying. I'm rounding up now. While we were praying at the site. Is this the kind of thing you hear in prayers? Give me $1,000. Is that the kind of thing you hear? You go to pray so that God can help you, no be so. I say, okay. I came back, I carried it, I gave them. Now, you see, when I share these things, I'm not trying to, this is not boast. I have to be real. Sometimes I will open it. There are some I can't even share with us because of online. There are some I can't share. If I share it with you, some of you will fight the people that want to bless me. So, let me keep it to myself. And I traveled. I went to another city for a meeting. As soon as I arrived and they ushered me to my hotel room, somebody walked in. I said, Apostle, this is my tithe. When I opened it, $1,000. I said, ah, God, so you were just testing me. While I was there, God told me, somebody brought $100, somebody brought another dollar, somebody brought this one. God told me, so man of God in this city, go and sow it into his life. When I dropped that seed there, listen to this. I came back the following day, it was miracle service. Then we're having Super Sundays. I didn't know the kind of grace I had received. It's not that you buy it. No. It's an instruction. When we had that service, that was the sixth or the seventh day. The first miracle was somebody healed of cancer. Even with $1,000, can you treat cancer? But a sacrifice of that has brought, and from that day to today, today we went to preach in a church somewhere. An elderly woman who had cataract that had blinded her eyes. You know that's a growth. Right there in the church, the cataract disappeared. She was healed. And we have seen testimony of growth and tumors again and again. Why? The kingdom of darkness is being persecuted. Because somebody did something. It's a new day for you. Stand on your feet. Let's close. Are you blessed tonight? Clap your hands for the Lord if you are blessed. Now, do you know that I didn't even do the teaching for today? Today was supposed to be the 21 laws for financial dominion. We didn't even start it. 21. So we'll do that next week. Every of these laws, when they find expression in your life, there is no devil on earth that can make you poor. One of the reasons why I like laws, I love laws in the kingdom, is because God has trapped his power in laws. And laws are irrespective of no person. The Bible says the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. We will do that for next week. But for now, if you are truly blessed and you have been, at least you have been inspired tonight, lift your voice and give the Lord thanks. Lift your voice and thank him for what you have heard. Some of you need to thank him because you have been provoked, you have been challenged. You need to thank him because something has been stirred up in your spirit. Some of you have received something tonight, and you know that there is a turnaround, there is a change, blessing. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. We will never settle for less. We know. In Jesus' name. Two prayers before we break camp tonight. Two prayers. I want you to pray number one and say, Lord, use me as an instrument of salvation, of liberation to mankind through financial resources. Now listen, as you are praying that prayer, you are making a commitment to God that I will be a channel. I actually wrote a book on that. Money is not everything. God is. The last chapter. God, I am your channel. Amen. Can I share a story with you? Somebody made a vow to God. He said, Lord, was concerned about kingdom advancement, but no money. Say, Lord, if you will give me money to start a business, I'll make you the CEO. I'll just be your partner. And then he added to it because he knew that God must hear. He said, the first three deals I will hit, I will give you 100%. 2 weeks later, God gave him the money, started the business, registered the business. The first deal was 500,000. He gave everything. The second was 1.5. He gave everything. The third was a temptation. 1.5 billion. He gave God. Today, that guy is so wealthy. He's building churches every year. He has orphanages, schools. People are on scholarship. Hundreds of children. In fact, missionaries are on his payroll in hundreds. You want to pray tonight and say, God, God, put this thing on my life. Make me a channel of liberation and of salvation. That through my good deeds, men will see and glorify my Father in heaven. Lift your voice and pray. Even if you are a student, pray. This is how you prepare for a glorious financial future. Please pray. Lord, make me an instrument of financial liberation, an instrument of salvation. Use me as a vessel to touch my world. Use my life to end poverty, to end affliction in the life of people. Put this thing called finances, put it in my life. Use me as your vessel. You are looking for someone that you will use as a channel. Use my life. In Jesus' name. Final prayer. Lord, we spoke about the advancement of the kingdom, global end time evangelism as reasons for why you must attain financial dominion. You want to cry to God finally before we leave and say, Lord, reveal to me, before this series is over, reveal to me my own path as far as kingdom advancement and the preaching of the gospel is concerned as it relates to finances. Reveal my own. Listen, for some of you, your own can be to buy fuel in church. For some of you, your own can be to pay salaries to missionaries. For some of you, it may not even be for anything in church. God will just show you that my servant, take care of him. That one too is, in fact, let me share one testimony with you before we pray. Listen, every time I go to Abuja, there is a family. They take care of my clothes. The wife has a fashion house, so make new clothes. What I'm wearing now is one of their products. In fact, they have told me that I should just call. They will send and we bill. But you know me, I don't know how to. So I just, but anytime I'm in Abuja, clothes, other things, they just want to do that. God began to bless them. First blessing. In a military estate, God gave them a duplex. Blessing number one. They were tenants in Apo when I met them. I think it should be completed very soon. Blessing number two. This one hit me very well. In fact, the man was the first person to give to our project account when we opened it as a ministry. He was the first. He gave him 5 zeros. And they kept doing like that. This one hit me. Early this year, I was talking with them and I gave them a prophetic word. You know, sometimes when the anointing or the anointed has been touched with resources, he's provoked to prophesy. I prayed with them. I told them I saw a major breakthrough. They wanted to relocate to United Kingdom. And they were doing well, actually, but they felt they could do more. I told them, don't go. God says, stay. He will prosper you here. I saw a major open door coming for you. Something that will be multinational. When I traveled to Abuja in July, the man met me in my hotel room and he showed me the contract papers of a company in Germany, a global company in Germany. There's something they do, but they've only done it once in Africa and in South Africa. So they want to open and establish their West Africa office. Guess who is the coordinator for the whole West African state? That guy. He's going to be paid in thousands of dollars monthly. When I saw the contract, I almost collected it and signed my name there. The figures I saw there, 1 month's salary can build a house. Are you ready to pray? I didn't tell them. That was just their own contribution. They don't know SGNI. They've never watched any of our videos, nothing. Their own is that we know that you are pastor over a place. Eh? So, there's no time. Maybe next week I'll be sharing some mind-blowing testimonies with you. Not only of my life, but other people. Even for some of us here. Are you ready to pray? Lord, show me my own. Listen, 4 years ago, God showed me one of my own. One, not all. God said, write down these 4 pastors. Say, every month, share everything that comes to you into 2. And give them. Then from the other half, you can now pay tithe. I started that 4 years now. You know what? Now there are people like that God has raised in different nations. Like that. To me. I'm not telling you so that you will not keep back what you want to sow. No, you give for yourself. In fact, the laws of financial dominion, I will not mention giving, because many of us are watching bloggers now and they are talking all kinds of things. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. It is there. Don't follow people who are struggling or people who have already prospered. They say, hey, they are scamming. You don't follow them. Oh, know the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. You are going to pray and say, Lord, reveal my own. Before this series is over, reveal my own path. Whether you are outside or you are inside, you are here under the sound of my voice. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, reveal my own path. As far as financial contribution to kingdom advancement and preaching the gospel is concerned. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Reveal my own path and give me the grace. Empower me. Empower me to do it. Empower me to do it. Shabala tabala gorosia. Some of you, God will want that you use your skill to empower others so that many more people will be raised like you. Some of you is scholarships, good children in school. For some of you is the fund programs. Sakoba Rabela Marudia, Metabrosco Torata, Escobo Labalada Bagadabala, Shadela Balagata Baroboski, Escupa Beva Rubose Baroga, Ekrabanda Bologna Rabala, Lepina Pirasa Barata Konia, Ekrete Baroso Sotti, Ipsaidinio Rosotas Katar. He will take care of me. He will never, never let me down. I will keep God my life. If I give God my life,
Hallelujah. While we're all standing, I want to make an altar call right now. I know that God has really challenged us tonight. And believe me, for some of you, this is the ticket to a life of overflow, to a life of increase, and to a life of true financial dominion. But remember, one of the dimensions of poverty is spiritual poverty. Please all stand in everywhere. If you are here and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you are not saved. You have not publicly confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or perhaps you were saved before now, you were on fire for God, but you are cold. You want to rededicate your life back to Him. Maybe you've been convicted by the message tonight and you want to surrender afresh your life. Or you are here, you are struggling with an addiction, a weakness that you want God to break. You are tired of living in sin. You want to know God. You want to love Him and walk with Him and serve Him. Wherever you are, I want you to raise your right hand. I will pray for you right now. Please raise them high and keep them lifted. You want Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You want to return to the family of faith. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. If there's any amongst us like that, raise your right hand so we can pray.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.